A wall along the southern border of the United States with Mexico was one of President-elect Donald Trump's biggest campaign promises. In fact, it's a promise he made at the very start of his campaign.
I will build a great, great wall on our southern border, and I will have Mexico pay for that wall. Yeah. Mark my words.
Yeah. Lines like that for Donald Trump got him a lot of cheers at his rallies, but you didn't hear much from people right along the border, the people with backyards who would have such a wall run right through them.
For a lot of these folks, and this is sort of always the story of border and border security, a lot of these policy decisions that are made elsewhere, namely D.C. and on campaign trails, I mean, affect their livelihoods.
Travis Bubinik is a reporter with Marfa Public Radio, and he visited Presidio, Texas. That's a town of sprawling cattle ranches right along the Rio Grande. And he talked to property owners there who realized that a border wall might be a reality for them in their land.
In this area of far west Texas, in this borderlands area on the river, people are farming in the desert using the river. And so if they can't get to the river, if they can't have access to water, they obviously can't continue farming. So, I mean, the prospect of a wall is a very sort of existential concern to them. And that's something that I talked to with one farmer near Presidio. His name is Terry Bishop.
And there are a lot of people up north who've never been down here, don't have a clue, don't really care either. But they just feel if there's a wall there, then the problem is solved. And I believe that the issue is more complicated than that.
Well, Travis, there's Terry being pretty clear about a debate that takes place, you know, in the halls of power or in front of the cameras that doesn't have a whole lot to do with his farm right where the wall might cut through.
Yeah. And, you know, the interesting thing about Terry is that he's a very realistic guy, and he understands that this is a huge issue that's far out of his control. So he sort of hopes that at a bare minimum, if this wall comes through his property, which is an idea that he mentioned to me has been, you know, tossed his way before, you know, a few years ago, post 9/11, that they will at least ask him what his needs are, what his concerns are. He hopes that they will at least get into the nitty-gritty of how he's going to access the river. But when you come right down to it, I mean, he's very frank about the fact that he thinks Trump is going to build a wall. It was a huge campaign promise. He thinks there's no way that he couldn't build a wall. He just has no clue, like most border residents, and I mean pretty much like everybody, I think at this point, where that will happen.
But what does a guy like Terry Bishop, who has all of his water concerns, his farming concerns, his ranching concerns, feel about the immigration concerns? I mean, is this a case where Terry Bishop says we really have to stop folks from Mexico and Central America coming across here, or that's kind of someone else's problem?
A guy like Terry Bishop, I think, is a unique case because he lives in a part of the border that is not the most active immigration corridor in Texas or across the Southwest. He just feels that here, that kind of very intense solution to an immigration problem, it just doesn't add up with the reality on the ground that he's seen throughout his lifetime here.
You know, and I don't know. I understand that there's a lot of border concerns and this, that, and other. I understand that. And then there's the drugs, and I understand that. But there's certain things I just can't get my arms around the idea of building a wall through Big Bend and through this Big Bend State Ranch here down towards Lajitas. That's just simply too beautiful to put a wall. I can't even imagine how much something like that would cost. And I just don't know that a wall really, especially in an isolated area, is going to work because there's too many ways to get over, under, or through a fence if nobody's watching, you know.
Do local officials or people in government have anything to offer folks like Terry when they have these questions?
I think a lot of local officials across the borderlands, particularly in Texas, I mean, you're talking about blue counties and a red state somewhat, feel like they do speak out about their concerns and their needs and their opinions on ideas like a wall, on ideas like, you know, getting rid of NAFTA or altering it too. But a lot of the times I think they feel like they're just not heard. I talked to the mayor of Presidio, Texas, John Ferguson, and he talked about how he's tried to make a case before that the wall's not the solution, but nobody's really listening.
I'm gonna tell the truth. I really feel powerless when I think about the bigger picture of what's going on in the country and what's being said. I feel pretty powerless.
When he says powerless, I mean, that sounds like a small town mayor who sees a big national debate about immigration that really doesn't have a whole lot to do with somebody like him and his constituents on the very front lines?
You know, I don't think it's so much that as that I just think that it's a debate that won't let him into it in some ways. I mean, he talked at length about how he has, you know, very nuanced understandings of why immigration is happening. You know, I mean, there's violence in Central American countries, and that story has been covered and that story has been told. But he just feels that, like, people don't often come to the borderlands and ask what his solutions to those problems would be. You know, and his solutions are, he's a Democratic mayor. They are very neighborly toward Mexico, and they are not favoring ideas like building a wall. And he thinks there are other ways to go about this. But his sort of main takeaway about these national debates about immigration and border security and how they affect his town and his community is that he really just wishes people would listen more.
So, Travis, as we've watched this debate unfold throughout the campaign, immigration, the wall, a lot of people said, oh, just a big blustery promise from Donald Trump. It'll never get built. The people who you talk to don't believe that, right?
They sort of have no other option but to assume that it will happen and that it could happen to them. I mean, because listen, if you got property on the river, you got a farming operation, you're, you know, doing your budgets for the year and things, you have to consider those things. And with such a huge campaign promise, when your livelihood depends on having access to the Rio Grande, like, you can't just say, oh, it probably won't happen. You have to at least respect the possibility that it could. I think that's where they're at.
And based on your reporting and what people are telling you, Travis Bubinick, I can't imagine that anybody really cares about the second part of that promise. We're going to build the wall and Mexico's going to pay for it. That second part doesn't sound like it matters much to people.
It hasn't come up that much. You know, I mean, I don't know every single border resident's politics, and they can be somewhat complicated. But I mean, that is not something that, if you are faced with the prospect of a concrete structure, a wrought iron structure, whatever, fence, wall coming through your property, I don't think your concern is necessarily who's going to pay for it, but whether or not it's going to happen and what you are going to do about it.
Facing the prospects of a border wall along the border itself in Presidio, Texas, Marfa Public Radio reporter Travis Bubinick, thank you so much.
No problem. Thanks.
Travis Bubinick is a reporter at Marfa Public Radio in Texas. His report is featured today in The Wall. That's a special hour-long program from the Texas Standard. For more, you can visit texasstandard.org.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.